Christian Wolf's alive.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiend. Broadcasting from Pod Bay, sit and stay. 82 feet above sea level, intergalactic canine studios. We loosen your leashes, unlatch those cage doors, and distract your handlers to keep the shock collar of statism from being clamped on into your neck. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael and Phil?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel it.
I feel it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's up there. It's up there somewhere.
And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So we are back. I am Jeremy.
Yeah.
I'm joined by Michael and Phil.
Hey.
How are you guys?
I'm okay.
Excellent.
I'm digging it.
I've been better.
What's wrong, Phil? Tell us about it. Share.
Did the pre-show bum you out, Phil?
I hate Windows. I hate Microsoft with a burning passion, even though I'll probably end up working there someday.
You will be assimilated. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either by them or Amazon. Here's hoping for Amazon.
Have you applied at both places?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've probably both already decided to hire you, but just, you know, want to let you sit and spin for a while.
Well,
I guess.
Here's hoping Amazon decides first to speak.
Yeah.
Speak
well,
up.
Yeah. I don't know. I've heard that working for Microsoft as a programmer is great, and I've heard that working for Amazon isn't, but that could just be the one person I know who's done that at each place.
And maybe that's why Amazon puts out so much better of a product.
Well, I've heard that working tech support at Amazon is a really good job. Nima Vidati used to work there, and
nice.
He loved it. You know, they only hire competent people. They train them really well. They pay them well to train, and you know, treat everyone well, he said, who works there, which is not the case at a lot of jobs in the world these days and every days. Yeah.
And to be fair, it's not even really Microsoft that I hate. It's the laptop manufacturers that install Microsoft. So I'm really aiming my hate towards the wrong people.
You know, that's a really good point. And Jim Babb used to complain about Windows on the show too, because we're connecting over Fiend Phone, which is made to run on Windows. It can actually run on Linux or Mac if you use the right emulators. Oh, actually, no, it cannot run on Linux. It can only run on Linux if you're like, it won't even run on Wine.
MacGyver.
But but Mac on Mac it'll run. You know, using a couple different emulator environments that are we actually have directions on the Fiend Phone site. If you ever want to do that, Phil, let me know and I'll send you the link. And this is for anybody in the audience listening. Speaking of software and people complaining, but I do want to say that is a really good designation and delineation, because a lot of people don't even think about this, you know, just general users, and you are thinking about this, that Mac, one of the reasons, you know, people say Mac just works. I love Mac because Mac just works. And they sound like religious zealots when they're saying it. But basically what they're saying is, I'm stupid, so I have to have everything done for me. But one of the things with Mac is that, with the exception of Power Macs in the 80s and early 90s, which was a different thing, every Mac, like Mac makes the software and the hardware, you know?
Right.
Yes,
yeah,
no?
They make it all. They make it specifically for each other,
and it
Windows,
works.
The issue with Windows is it's cross-platform, so you don't have the immediate firmware compatibility there. There's a whole lot of same thing with Linux. You know, Linux is even worse about that, because not only do you have all of the issues with the connections between the hardware and the software, it's also basically community driven. So you don't have the hardware manufacturers making the drivers and such for you.
Yeah.
In a lot of situations. And that's why Wi-Fi is such a huge pain in the butt to get working.
I still don't have it working. on my one laptop. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been that like that for over 10, over a decade. It's been, it's been like that ever since Wi-Fi started. And they still haven't, the community still hasn't, and it's probably because the drivers keep changing, the Wi-Fi manufacturers.
Yeah.
It keeps updating. So.
Yep.
One more reason that Linux just would not work for me, because I run a pretty much completely wireless environment, except for my Fiend phone computer.
Yeah. Are you running wired there for your Fiend phone
computer? Yeah, my Fiend phone computer is always...
I'm talking to Phil. Oh, sorry. I'm talking to the guy having problems tonight.
No, I can't, because my modem and my is in the room with the tree that scratches the window.
Okay. Well, you know that you can get like a 70-foot... Cat 5 cable for like $15 or $10, right?
Yeah, I got 200 footers for about $15 a piece. Ran them all the way across my house.
Yeah,
I'd suggest that, Phil. I think that'll solve your problems. Why don't you order one right now on Amazon while we're talking? Well,
my problem's not the internet. My problem is the computer, because it's...
Well, your personal problem is
your program itself.
Your personal problems may be the computer, but your Fiend phone issues more than likely are the internet.
It's very likely that it's that you're not wired. Did you know that Fiend phone is supposed to be wired 100% of the time? And it makes all the difference in the world?
I may have forgotten that. But I don't think internet issues would cause the window to jolt when I move it.
Fiend phone is weird in some ways, in that like it's not happy, it has problems like that. But yeah, that could be
the protocol quirky, not weird.
Well,
yeah. Well, you know, Fiend phone was made. I raised about $1,200 and gave it to Derek Slopey, and he did like, you know, $20,000 worth of programming on this. So, you know, it doesn't work as well as Skype, that has millions of dollars put into it, probably a billion by this point, and hundreds of programmers have worked on it and helped it. So, and it's running over their network. You know, this is running over anyway. So, will you do that, Phil? For the Fiends, will you order a long Cat 5 cable?
I will see what I can do. But, okay. But I got to tell you, Michael, Macs just work.
You have to say it more starry-eyed. Macs just work. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so true.
Taxation is theft, and I want to get that out of the way, because here's a common analogy. When people say, you know, if somebody steals 100% of your labor, you know, if you just are a slave, you're definitely a slave. So what percentage is not a slave? That's a little thought twister that is really common in our world, but not probably so common in people listening on the radio. So think about that. Let me say it again. So, you know, if you're chained up working in someone's field and they're taking everything you make and just paying you in the cheapest food and, you know, water they can give you, just enough to keep you alive and not sick so you can work, or even sick and work. And you are a slave. You're obviously a slave. We can all agree on that 100%. So what percentage of having your labor taken by some entity, some government or some person, is not slavery? I mean, I would say zero, but anybody who believes that taxation is necessary and things couldn't be done without a free market, yeah. What do you guys think? Do you have an answer for that one? It's always a mind twister to me.
Well, I agree with you.
When I first heard it. What's that?
I said I agree with you that the correct answer is zero. But I usually when I pose this question to people, I get the most common response is they automatically justify what they would be comfortable giving up. By saying, oh, you know, I think 30 or 40% is, you know, perfectly reasonable, and you know, totally taking out of the equation that they are speaking for everybody else when they say that.
That's the problem with collectivists. Wrong. With what, yeah. Phil?
I was just making a sarcastic joke. I don't see anything wrong with double serfdom.
You have to say it in a double name. You have to say it in a dumb word, so a dumb voice, so we know you're being sick. Because that's a problem with doing... Really?
As opposed to your regular dumb voice.
It sounded kind of dumb. It just didn't sound dumb enough. I don't mind if... Actually, a lot of hosts I've noticed, a lot of radio hosts, when they're doing the person they disagree with, use a kind of effeminate voice. Like, I don't mind if they take 50%... You know, that's...
Patriarchy. Like,
yeah. Whatever. I don't know. It's just, and I've also heard people use a Southern accent, which is weird, but that's usually something leftists do.
It's usually something like more red. They equate that to rednecks, and they equate that to dumb people who watch NASCAR and drink beer all day. So
Yeah.
That's where that comes from.
Yep. 50-foot Cat 5 cable, $5.65. Amazon Prime.
You can have it there by Wednesday.
Phil, you got, do I have to buy this for you, or will you buy it tonight?
I'll buy something a little bit shorter, but yeah, I'll get something.
Okay, what do you want? 40-foot? Let me get you 40-foot here. All right.
I don't know. I'd have to actually foot out the distance.
You know, 40-foot are more expensive. It's weird. You should get 50-foot and then just...
Because they're not as common.
Cable it up.
Because the standard sizes are 25, 50, and 100.
Yeah, I guess if it's only five-something bucks, I can throw that away when I move. The problem is the space, not the cost. So...
You can throw what away when you move the cable? No, you keep it in your box of ancient technology. You don't have one of those boxes?
I throw it away when I move because I'm a vagabond. I don't want to spend a couple thousand bucks every time I move.
Okay. Do you want blue or white? Like, you know, gray, white, or red?
Blue.
Man. Yeah.
Blue's fine. I don't care.
Okay, so I'm sending you this. Will you get it? Will you order it tonight so we have it for the next show?
Yeah. I will, but I don't have Prime, so.
Okay, well, it'll, you know, you have to pay 50 cents for shipping then probably or something, but yes.
Yeah. 50 well, I'm foot. Saying it probably won't get here by the next show.
Have you ever signed up for it? Because you can get a free trial and you can probably get
a
Prime. Yeah, it just lapsed recently and I wasn't using it enough to justify the $100.
Well, don't you have a new email you're using? Just sign up with that one.
Get another free trial.
Oh, yeah, I sent it to your old address. I'm sending it to your new address. And if people are like, what the heck is this radio show? They're like home shopping, but not including us on it. It's the I'm Doing Home Shopping Network on the Freedom Fiends. Well, you know, we're all about good audio, and this is a teaching hospice. It's teaching hospital now. I'm not dying anymore. It's teaching hospital now. So, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Phil? Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, I did let my Prime relapse.
But... You let it your Prime relapse? Mine relapsed, too, once a year. Yeah.
But hey, Amazon, if you want to hire me for one of them high-paying jobs, I'd be happy
Send
to
him a free cable. Send him a free cable.
Send me a free Cat cable. I'm right next door.
You know, if we were big, if we were a huge, we're almost out, but, you know, if we were like a huge thing with lots of listeners, they'd send one. Someone would hear it, you know, and they'd go, oh, these people are giving us free advertising.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 5th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, starting Thursday, June 22nd, and going through Monday, June 26th. That's right, Liberty Fest is getting longer and stronger. There will be presentations, discussions, bacon duels, and outdoor activities in an environment that is both family and grown-up friendly. There will be special appearances by Jeffrey Tucker, Dana Martin, and a few of the Freedom Fiends. If you have only talked about what a free society would look like, this is your chance to live it and see it with your own eyes. Now round up your friends and family and get them registered today at mplfest.org. And there is a discount for paying with Bitcoin. That's mplfest.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Did you get that one, Phil? As long as we're here.
Did you get that one? I don't remember. I'll have to check.
Can you do Tuesday night, Wednesday morning this week with myself and Knight Vidotti, our new 16-year-old host who's Nima Vidotti's brother?
I would love to.
Actually, his name's not Vidotti, but I'm putting you in. Good. This is what happens when you don't.
Nice. The next generation of fiends.
I know. Literally. I know. Then we can call Nick an old man, Nick Hazleton. Yeah.
Well, Nick still holds the record. You know, he was the youngest when he started, right?
So he was like 7, right, when he joined the
something
fiends,
like that. I think.
Now he's
still the yackiest.
He's 15, but
14, 15. Yeah, yeah. Like almost 16, but 15. Yep. So.
Wow.
I have a feeling though, from pre-gaming for an hour the other night with Knight Vidotti, I think he's going to be better on his first shows than Nick was. Nick was
doesn't
scared.
He do music too?
Yeah,
he
he's
too?
A rapper. He's
yeah,
he's
so
a rapper,
he's a performer.
So
Nick was not a performer.
Nick was like, "I'm sorry, I'm on the radio." You know, I'm still telling Nick speak up, son, but not nearly
he's
as often.
He's a big boy voice.
Yes, he's a big boy voice, but yeah. So we on this show we have mentored some young people with their parents' permission. I'm friends with Knight's mother because she's Nima's mother. I think Knight's the one. I'm gonna ask him this on the show, but I think he's the one. Nima's mom, Nima and Knight's mom, is a school teacher. And they live in Texas, and she had their congressman, Ron Paul, come speak to her class one day for Constitution Day and yeah, got in trouble with that. The school for it. Like, you know, oh, we don't want this guy coming in here, you know, it's the Constitution, you know, the only Constitution respecting,
that's what I was
going to
say. The only guy who actually knows everything about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't want him. We don't want him there.
Yeah. So we'll have to ask Knight about that, but that'll be a good show. I'm glad you can be on that, Phil. Tuesday night, Wednesday morning this week. Yay.
Oh, yeah, I look forward to that one.
New Fiends.
Also tomorrow, starting Daryl.
Yeah, I was going to say, Daryl. I'm on that one tonight. Yeah. Tomorrow. Yeah.
Yep. You are nice. Tomorrow night.
Yeah, I had to switch with you because I can't do Tuesday. I can't. Oh, I need. Yeah. That's the reason Knight and Phil are now doing Tuesday night
that's
and Wednesday
right.
morning because
right.
I had to bail on that.
I didn't add you on that. I think I had you on the wrong.
Yeah, you
week,
did.
So
no, you did. You added me correctly.
I'll see you on here. Let's see.
Yeah, I can now confirm that I did not get your email.
All right. Well, I think we've changed that because, like, this is weird because you and Braden have had to both set up email accounts to get email from me. And I'm not on spam list or anything. I don't know why that would be. It's weird, but yeah. Oh, I see you on here now. Yep. James Weeks, Daryl. So let's talk about some things you talk about on radio instead of things that we should be talking about not on radio. So Kathy Griffin, what happened with her last week? Really briefly to recap.
Well, apparently she was doing a photo shoot of some kind, and some of these photos involved her holding a severed costume. A fake severed head of Donald Trump. And I saw something that she was quoted somewhere, like saying after the shoot, like kind of joking to the people around her, gosh, if these pictures ever get out, it'll destroy, you know, kind of ruin me, you know, like ha ha ha. And
nod, wink, wink.
Yeah,
oh, it was planned, man.
Yeah.
Come
so,
on.
Yeah.
Did she tweet it?
Yeah.
I don't know how it started. Once it got out, there was of course a poo storm and everybody was, screaming for her head, which of course is ironic because which of course is ironic because it was the many of the conservatives who like to toss the word around, and rightly so, snowflakes at a lot of the people on the left were acting in the same exact manner because
they were getting triggered.
Yeah, over something like this, which is, you know, there was horrible things said and like pictures drawn and like thing and like effigies about Obama and about Bush. But I was thinking about it. The funny thing of it to me is like the only reaction from the like people themselves, like from the people in power themselves came when it happened to Republicans. Cause I don't remember Obama lashing out at all the people doing the things to him, but Bush ended up like, because of the backlash, the Dixie Chicks got a horrible reaction because
that
of the thing
so
to Bush.
That was so ridiculous, man. That was ridiculous.
And Kathy Griffin gets the same horrible reaction because it was done to Trump.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons the Freedom Fiends have a deep underground following, but are not huge. Is because there's so many deal breakers that there's something we do that everyone hates. Like, you know, we're anti-war, there were pro-free market, and then just all these other things. Like, you know, and we also, I adamantly don't like Stefan Molyneux, and then that, like, shaves off 8% of our following. I also really don't like, you know, he who cannot be named Chris Cantwell, and then, like, that shaves off 2%. It's to the point where, like, pie is just eaten away by people who can't deal with how real we are. Seriously, though. Yeah. Worms. Worms.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
The anti-Kathy Gifford, anti-fan club here.
Griffin. Not Gifford.
Griffin. Yeah. Oh, Kathy Gifford. I'm not.
Kathy Lee Gifford. She's the other one.
She's the drunk?
Yeah. Oh, wait. I was about to say that.
She has attorneys, but put it this way. She drinks on wine at 8 a.m. No, at 7 a.m. on air, on TV, in front of the nation. And she actually.
Hey, it's a nice gig if you can get it, man.
She actually played a parody of herself with her name in some other show. What's that show with the two hipster gals from Brooklyn? The kind of feminist show that's not horrible, that's kind of funny because they're feminists that are kind of making fun of feminism at the same time. But
I have no idea. I haven't watched TV.
But then I stopped watching when they had Hillary Clinton as a guest.
Oh, sorry, voice of God spoke to us. What was that?
Yeah, Fraud City. No, Broad City. That's it. Broad City. Yeah. Yeah, Kathy Lee Gifford was on that show playing a version of herself that was like, that turned one of the hosts into a drunk in like 3 days because she was drinking so much that, like, you know, the one of the main two gals on the show, like lost her job and lost everything because she just was drinking so much with Kathy Lee Gifford, actually played by Kathy Lee Gifford. But so I guess we can pretend call her a drunk allegedly, but I don't want to call anyone a drunk. That gets people in trouble, I have found. So moving on, I want to talk about Kathy Griffin, the one who held up the president's head in effigy, basically.
Was she in Gwar?
No. Why do you ask that? She was not the Gwar lady.
There's a picture going around of Gwar being all mad because they did it first.
Oh, because they have severed on stage the head of about every president for the last four presidents while they've been together. But Gwar doesn't exist anymore because Dave Brocky died. The singer, my friend, good friend, Dave Brocky, who I know from Virginia and know from, he actually went to your school, VCU. Isn't that where you went, Phil?
No.
Oh.
No, I
okay.
didn't go to
VCU. You were roommates with someone who went to VCU. No.
Yeah.
Phil was a Florida man, right?
Yeah, I went in Florida and in Arizona. I went in the two worst school districts in America, Florida and Arizona.
Well, they're probably the biggest party schools in America, too. Except for Chico State. Chico State, I've heard.
Sorry, go ahead.
All right. So I want to talk about what I started talking about, which is
Kathy Griffin.
One segment ago. Kathy Griffin. Is that her name?
Griffin,
yeah,
yes.
Griffin. The shrill, redheaded, D-list and proud of it celebrity. Okay. Recently, we've been doing a thing on the show where we've had statist confessions, where we talk about, you know, what we used to say. Like, at one point, I said, only the police and military should have guns, which I think is an absurd thought right now. And, you know, there may or may not be a gun sitting on my table loaded right now. I'm sure there's liberals saying, put it in your mouth and pull the trigger, because they hate us. I've had people say that. You ever had people say that to you when you're talking in favor of guns? I've had three or four people in the past 10 years on forums say, you should take your gun right now, put it in your mouth and pull the trigger. Isn't that ugly and creepy and really what all liberals think, I think?
I don't think I've had that one happen. I mean, I've had threats and other, and I've had, you know, comments that I should do something to myself in other capacities, but never that one. No, I don't.
It's a common one when you're arguing gun rights with liberals. So here's my status confession. I used to be a huge fan of Kathy Griffin's comedy.
Wow.
I've been trying to get at that, but you know, I'm glad we took a while to get around to it because it hurts my heart to say that now. Here's the thing.
You had to work up to saying it.
Like 11 years ago when I liked her, and I used to like, I mean, she would come out with a new, this is before Netflix, and like, you know, you had to go pirate stuff to find it. And like, you know, as soon as she came out with something, I would go pirate it and get it and listen to it like immediately. And my wife really didn't like her. My wife would be like, okay, I'm going in the other room now. As soon as I would turn on a Kathy Griffin.
Good for you, DJ. Thank you.
Yeah.
For remaining sane in those moments.
Yeah. Yep. And, it was not a political thing. She was a little political back then, but this is before, as Steve Miller points out, like comedy went from being telling jokes to just saying, I hate Republicans, and people clapping and laughing and saying, you're a great comedian, which is pretty much what a lot of comedy is now.
Yeah. Ever since the Bush era, like a couple of years after 9/11, that kind of his second term, it pretty much started like that, right? Where it became pretty much everybody.
Yes.
Especially the liberals.
It's partly Netflix's fault, too.
Why do you say that?
Because it's like every special on Netflix.
But I could see that, too.
Super left-wing comedian.
Who is? I didn't hear what you said. You dropped out for a second.
Like,
who's?
Oh, most of the comedians on Netflix seem to be like super left-wing, or a lot of them. At least the ones that pop up on my feed. And I'm not really a big fan of left-wing comedy, so I don't think it's only because that's what I watch.
I think it's something about how your feed gets tailored because a lot of the comedians that pop up in my feed on Netflix are kind of neutral. They probably vote Democrat, but they don't talk a whole lot about it. Or they'll have like one little segment in the middle of their show where they'll go, blah, 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 and I'll go get a sandwich and come back. But it's not wall-to-wall like some comedians.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm
noticing it too much.
Maybe you sleepwalk and like your other personality is a leftist who likes leftist comedy.
I'm a zombie socialist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zombie socialist.
There's the title. All right. Zombie.
I'm a zombie socialist.
Are you a zombie socialist? Take our quiz. That's good and late, baby. Yeah.
Oh, man. I might need to see a therapist now.
Yeah.
That's bad news for me.
My Netflix feed though is really weird because DJ and I share an account. We don't share accounts on anything else. Like, you know, I think it's, do you know anybody who like the husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend share, or boyfriend and boyfriend or girlfriend and girlfriend, a couple shares an email account? I find that the creepiest thing in the world.
Yes.
Yeah. And you don't know who you're really talking to sometimes.
Yeah, some of my older clients had setups like that. The ones that like obviously had just gotten into using email in the past like couple of years.
Yeah, they have a family email account. It's so ridiculous, and it's like, you know, there's nothing in my email I wouldn't want my wife to see, and there's nothing, and vice versa is true. You know, like I would let her sit down and watch me answer my email. It wouldn't be a problem, go ahead.
I was just going to say, even for the convenience of like, you want to surprise each other with something and
even something like that,
like you're obviously if you can share everything with them, yeah, but you don't want to share that.
Also the 120 or 100, you know, between probably 75 and 130 emails I send back and forth on a given day she'd be like, okay, I'm out, you know.
Especially anything involving the show. She probably wants nothing to do with.
You know, well, and she doesn't send that many emails outside of work. She pretty much emails with her two adult children, and that's about it, you know? So, you know,
imagine even those people with the joint email account still have their own. I don't think that's...
No. I've known people that share, you know, it's like, you know, the Pollards is the email name.
Yeah.
Or hey, don't bring me into this.
The people I'm thinking of, at least the ones I personally had experience with, they usually, if anything, they maybe one of them had a separate one because it was a work email, like that they were given to by their work. But otherwise, they had like their personal email with just like the two of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah, that's weird.
I've come in. Like I said, if it's, especially with people who've only recently got into the internet in the last five years or less, you know, and they're already 60 and over, I understand it, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I bet those are the same people that have the back and forth phone message thing when you call in, you get the This is Bob, and this is Jane.
Which is kind of inspired, I think, by those radio ads that we make fun of once in a while, where I usually have Jerry and Diana sound like a couple yammering back and forth. I love the Freedom Fiends Digest. Yes, I agree with you that the Freedom Fiends, that anyone who can't spend 10 minutes listening to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist. That's my Jeremy imitation. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite of your
comments. That is a good one. There's a Simpsons making fun of that, where Homer is trying to hire an ad agency, and Homer says to the guy in his office, "So are you any good?" And the guy says, "Yeah. You know those ads where a husband and wife are yammering back and forth?" And Homer's like, "Yeah." And the guy says, "I invented those." And Homer punches him in the jaw. Yeah. So I liked Kathy Griffin a lot at one point, and I don't anymore. You know, it's weird too, because I didn't as I became more libertarian and less statist, I kind of stopped listening to her, and it really wasn't the jokes, because during that time she still wasn't really getting political, but she just stopped being funny to me, and she didn't change, I did. So there. Yeah,
you grew as a human being and evolved past Kathy Griffin.
Yep. All right. So one little thing here. Let's see. Collective shaming of people for being in a country where the president is somebody. So I'm looking at a Washington Post headline. It says, "With his London tweets, Trump embarrasses himself and America once again." I'm not embarrassed. Although, am I America? I don't know.
Oh, things are so silly.
Michael Dean is American.
That could be a show title too, but I don't know. People don't really recognize people judge a book by its cover. And a lot of times people have made fun of the Freedom Fiends because of an ironic show title. Like, you know, obviously in the voice of a statist, and they don't know the majesty that is the Freedom Fiends, and they see it, and they're like, it's usually newly minted libertarians who probably have less of a sense of humor than current Kathy Griffin fans, that just start arguing with you based on something that you said that's obviously sarcasm.
The good old angry libertarian stage where they just react to everything and they see everything. Statist.
Also known as weaponized autism. Have you heard that term?
Yeah. As much I hate that particular term being used, that one just is kind of
well,
funny.
As much as you and I are slightly autistic.
I know.
We both have a little Asperger's. I think it's funny, though.
Phil claims
he doesn't have autism?
I have no idea. I don't think I have autism, but I haven't gotten tested. Allegedly.
I'm not crazy. My parents had me tested.
the math geek says he's not autistic. Yeah, doesn't have Asperger's.
I might be.
Right.
I don't know. I'm sure I have some sort of level of that. I'm not particularly socially adept, so there's probably something.
Yeah, either that or you're a sociopath. You know, potato, potato.
Nah. No, potato, potato. Man, that's dark. That's dark, brother.
Worms. Fine line, man.
We're out. Worms, meow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends, helping the helpless.
Stop snitching, Greg Allman.
Wow.
You know what this song's called? This is me playing everything. This is from my short-lived band, Right Arm of Wyoming, which put out a CD in about seven or eight years ago. This song is called Would You Tar and Feather a Tax Collector?
That is spectacular.
Yeah, I'm not saying I would. It's a question. You know, that was actually HuffPo. There was a thread on HuffPo about that song because there's a video of it on YouTube that it's, you know, it's just images of things that I'm talking about in the song, but it's also the lyrics very clearly, you know, like so you can understand the lyrics. And there was a thread on HuffPo that talking about, it said, you know, should terrorist rock be removed from YouTube or something? And they embedded that video, called it terrorist rock, and discussed it. And there were like 40 people on that thread talking about how, you know, free speech had gone too far and there need to be limits. And the last thing on it, post on it, before the guy locked it, because then like I posted it somewhere and, you know, our people started coming in and commenting and they didn't like that. They didn't want to hear any dissenting opinions on a leftist site, of course.
How dare you enter their echo chamber?
That's funny. How dare I pop their bubble? The last comment on it was an admin saying, you know, I'm locking this site, but the quote unquote, the quote artist unquote, who made this song should know that I've reported this to the proper authorities. So he probably called DA, you know, Department of Homeland Security and said,
well,
Michael Dean wrote a song.
Well, yeah, that's,
you're on the list now, boy.
That's pretty funny. Cool. That's like what happened. Well, during my escapades a couple of months ago, somebody actually, I don't remember if we talked about this or not, but somebody actually reported me to Homeland Security reported me to Homeland Security and to the Secret Service for the picture of me wearing a shirt that I bought from Davy Barker that says "Kill the Precedent."
Precedent meaning
because
remove the things that are, you know, remove the status quo is what that
and
means.
And they reported me because they insisted it said that I was wearing a shirt that said was talking about assassinating the president.
Which
because
is not
they obviously
what it says.
Can't spell.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, public school, you know. That's
yeah,
why they can't spell.
People are crazy.
Helping.
Yeah. People will report stuff
I'm
like that. Exactly. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. And it usually doesn't lead to anything. You know, the thing is, though, it can lead to a knock at your door. And for Kathy Griffin, who supposedly got contacted by the Secret Service and who the only funny thing I've heard about or around Kathy Griffin in a long time, that picture was mildly funny. I much preferred your Phil's version where you replaced his head with a Bipcot image. The only funny thing. Yeah. Okay. The only funny thing I've heard about that lately was somebody called Kathy Griffin the Ted Nugent of the left, which is pretty apt, I think.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah.
How she wants to poke people. But Ted Nugent was contacted by the Secret Service for coming out on stage with an AR-15 and saying, I'm going to shove this up Obama's blank and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, Hillary Clinton's blank.
They don't take that lightly. Anytime anybody makes anything that could be considered a threat towards any sitting president, people will get a knock on your door. That's
you know what's funny about talk radio audiences? I got to say this, and it's not all of them, but I'll bet there are people who heard that on radio and went like, oh, that's almost too far. You shouldn't say that on radio. I'll bet some of those same people really laughed when they heard about Ted Nugent saying that. Yeah. All right. So stop snitching, Greg Allman. So Greg Allman died recently, and he's a great musician and all. And, you know, my sister's boyfriend that turned me on to pot in 1976 when I was 11 used to be a roadie Mushroom Jones band, which was what the Allman Brothers was called before they were called the Allman Brothers. But, yeah.
Wait, it was called what? You cut out there.
Mushroom Jones Band. Yeah. But, a lot of people forget this. The main thing I remember about him is that he snitched. Do you know about this? He sent someone to jail for 50 years to save his own skin.
No, I did not know that.
Yep. He got busted for drugs and, you know, they were like, you want to be free or you want to go to jail? If you want to be free, set up some people. And he set up his manager and one other band member and, you know, they got 50 years in prison.
Oh, I had a cut.
So, stop snitching, Greg Allman. Oh, wait, he has stopped snitching. Never mind. Yeah. He has finally stopped snitching.
I had a couple of friends who got caught like that. One of them turned, the other one didn't. And it's just like, you know, a couple of years after the fact, you look at him, it's just like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, like everyone... You know, I wouldn't snitch either, but it's not like the mafia where if you don't snitch and go to jail, they take care of you and your family. You know, they're just like, in liberty. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Some people might, you know, set up a fundraiser and send them $50 or something. Because that's all, you know, 20 libertarians have to donate.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Hey, nobody told me.
This is the freedom.
Nobody told you you're on the radio show tonight? What are you saying?
Freedom Fiends, broadcasting to Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a PIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at PIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
Worms.
So we are back for the second hour. I am Jeremy.
Yep.
Here with Mike.
Where am I?
Phil.
I know, Phil. I know. I guess we need to tell him now.
No. We normally discuss that before the break, and it's just instinctively, I'm like, I did the first one, so somebody else should pick up the second one.
Yeah. Well, we actually have topics in this segment because we do welcome Belle Fouche,
yes.
South Dakota. And, you know, Belle Fouche is a huge market and a lot of people there. So really need to be on our A games. We're actually going to have topics this hour.
Hello, Belle Fouche.
Hello, Belle. Good morning, Belle Fouche.
And Sundance.
And Sundance.
And
environs. Yes. including most of the Free State, most of the Free State Project, which is not where the Sundance Film Festival is. And, that's actually in Park City, Utah, which I've been to many times. It's a weird place. Went to Sundance Film Festival once and actually showed one of my films, DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, in one of the many hanger-on film fests that are not Sundance that just, you know, happen in the same town at the same time, usually like in one location. Sundance is in multiple locations. You know, there's usually like four or five films happening at once in 10 different locations or something. They're pretty much mostly all on the same street. And then people will like rent out a coffee shop and, you know, have their own little film festival. I was in the Lost Film Festival, which is run by some people who live in West Philly. They specify West Philly, like they're proud of it. And they are, they don't like labels. The guy, Scott from Bloodlink, who runs it, doesn't like labels, but,
other than West Philly.
Yeah. I would call him an Antifa. I think he's Antifa probably.
He's one of those
anarchists who hates leftist anarchists who hates, I like the guy. He's been a friend for a long time, but I haven't talked to him since I, you know, had my political awakening, but he had a pretty sweet idea. He actually used to travel, like he was homeless and running a mobile film festival. Like he would travel with a bunch of, like basically just a laptop and, you know, a bunch of, back then it was like DVDs and DV tapes and a little camera that could play DV tapes and would just, I think he eventually got a projector, but for a while he would like go places only that had a digital projector. This is back when they were expensive.
That doesn't sound like a film festival. That sounds like a kidnapping.
That's hilarious, man. Explain, though.
Well, you're saying, there's this guy that drives around in a van full of DVDs and a little home projector. And it, I don't know, just to me, it sounds like one of those sketchy situations.
Hey, get in the back of the van.
Phil didn't
watch a movie. Oh,
he wouldn't show the movies in the van. But what I was getting at was that he was one of those, you know, you're kind of halfway right, because he was one of those anarchists who think that all hierarchy is horrible. But I will say this, everywhere he went, he had, like, you know, 10 people following him around like puppies, and most of them women. And most of them much younger women than him. Like, this was when he was like 30 or something. And, you know, his following was kind of like clueless girls and boys who were probably between 16 and 20.
It's kind of like, you know, the poor man's Grateful Dead.
Yeah. Oh, man. Very poor man. Yeah, that's funny. I like it. Yeah. Although, you know, the idea of someone, you know, touring with no support and running, you know, showing films, if that sounds sketchy, I think you probably didn't have much experience in the punk rock world. Did you, Phil? Back in the day?
No, I didn't.
Because it's like punk rock without a band. And if someone who does that is suspect, I'm also suspect, because I toured with my film DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. Probably partly because I saw him doing it. I actually was doing it before I knew he was doing it, come to think of it, but because I'd been in bands and, you know, was just like, oh, I don't ever want to be in a band. Bands are horrible. There's a bunch of people that you have to, you know, it's like being married to three people that are creeps. And, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I toured America. I did three tours in America, like one of the West Coast, one of the middle America, and one of the East Coast. Like, you know, where the East Coast one, the West Coast one, I rented a car and drove up and down the West Coast and came home with money in my pocket. Like, showed the film, charged $2, usually had a local filmmaker be the opening band, show their film, then I'd show my film, and then I'd do a question and answer period. And then sometimes I would do, like, the next day, I'd stick around and give a filmmaking class, you know, and, like, pull out a camera, shoot some footage with the people at the class, and edit it on a computer, and then, you know, we'd look at it. And this sounds like what everyone does that now, but nobody did that then. This is in, you know, 2002, 2004. You know, it was not everyone, no phones had good video cameras in them. A good video camera cost, you know, $2,500 back then. And, not many people were doing digital filmmaking. I don't know if I'd say a pioneer at it, but I was one of the early people doing it. And I was probably the first person to do it and tour with my own film. But then I found out this guy, Scott, was doing it with other people's. How about that? He didn't even have to make a film. He just had people send him films. And I think he actually was charging money for, like, you know, to submit your film, which is common with film festivals. And it's kind of a scam too. Like, I basically say, if you make a film, don't really enter film festivals, because if it's good enough and the trailer's good enough, they'll come to you. Film festivals charge between, you know, $75 and $250 to enter, and accept a very small amount of what they take. It's part of their, you know, some would say scam, some would say business model, but, yeah, so that happened. That happened. I like the kidnapping comment, though. That's funny.
Yeah, when I was playing music, I only had, my biggest tour was the Forsyth Road tour, in which we had a week of playing three different bars on the same road, and that's it.
Ah, nice. The Dead Kennedys did something where they went up Highway 1 in California, or was it Highway 5? They called it the Turd Town Tour, and they played, nice, like, only tertiary towns, like, you know, not even anything as big as, like, San Jose or Sacramento. It was all, like, you know, Chico and towns like that, like, really small tertiary markets. But it was kind of cool, because back then there wasn't the internet, and, you know, if you wanted to see a band, you had to go see them live. This was in the 80s, probably. And, you know, it was kind of cool that, you know, a band that could pack in, you know, 500 to 1,000 people in Chicago or more would take the time to do a tour where they're probably playing to 200 people or 100 people going up and down the coast, or not the coast, the inland. Yeah, that's nice. Cool. I liked it. So I got an announcement, which is I'm no longer supporting Bitcoin. So this cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, that I said should exist, and then other people made it, basically. And then I, like, paid programmers to do updates.
Let that be Bitcoin.
Yeah. I'm no longer supporting it because there's no reason for me to do it. And it's, I've got to the same point with it where I got with to the same point that I got to with Fiendphone, which is, and there's a scathing I'm going to link this in the show notes so I remember. The my I'm no longer supporting Fiend Phone article when I like shut down comments and was like, you know, everything you need to know is in the tutorial here. Nobody's reading it. People are screaming at me demanding free help on something that's free. You know, that I'm losing money, that I lost money.
Mac,
yeah.
And Linux.
You need to make this, and that was a lot of the emails where you need to make this for Linux. You need to make this for Mac. And then we made a whole set of memes of, you know, you need to make this for, and we showed like a ColecoVision with cartridges from this, you know, late early 80s, like some absurd system.
We got even worse than that. It was like a picture of like a toaster and stuff. It's like,
yeah.
Pick it up on this.
Yeah, shortwave radio to phone booth. People didn't even know what a phone booth was, but they do on radio. Our listeners on the internet might not know what a phone booth is. Phones used to be landline.
Back in my day.
I'm actually explaining this because I'll bet there's somebody listening who doesn't know. So phones used to not be in your pocket. They used to be things in your house that had a wire that went into the hall, into the wall. And so people could make phone calls when they weren't at home. There were phone booths, which were like a little structure that one person could stand up in that, you know, was used as a changing room in Superman. I don't know what he does now. Probably presses a button on an app and changes him. But, yeah, there used to be like public phones that you'd put money into back when there was money, you know, metal money. You'd put some dimes and quarters and nickels into the phone and you'd call people. And if it was long distance, you'd pay. If it was out of your town, basically, you'd pay more. Because back then, there wasn't free nationwide. Doesn't everyone have free nationwide calling now? Maybe not, but maybe not on like Obama phones or something. But yeah, for the most part.
I will say, I bet that Belle Fouche has a decent young population due to the shale rush. So
yeah. Yeah, well, we've been on a few. We were on a station in North Dakota for a while that was in the middle of the one everyone knows about, the Bracken or Bakken oil fields. We were on in, I can't remember the town, but there's two towns in the middle of that, and we were on one of them and covered both of them. But yeah, and they probably do need something to listen to out. You know, that's the thing too is you could probably get this on a radio out in the field. But you probably wouldn't have easy internet access out there. You'd probably be paying roaming charges. Although, you know, the market provides, and when they probably set up a, I don't know, who knows. Maybe there's just a payphone in the middle of the oil field and you have to go out at night while you use the outhouse. I don't know. I'm not making fun of rural people. I'm making fun of how the market has a problem providing when there's government regulation. So there, that's our liberty for this segment. So yeah, I'm not supporting Bitcoin anymore. I'm not giving it up. I'm talking to a couple people about taking over on it. But the problem is that I did not do a pre-mine. I should have done a pre-mine. I mean, we did like a 0.1% pre-mine, which was nothing, and you know, went to the original devs, but I should have done a 5% pre-mine. People don't like pre-mines, but it would have provided, you know, some money to keep it running. So, and it's a problem with a bunch of crypto note coins. There's a bunch of crypto note coins that suddenly, like, no one can get a hold of the dev. At least they can get a hold of me to say, hey, can I take this over? But, you know, I think Cannabis Coin and Coal Coin and one other crypto note. It's like nobody knows, like, no one can get a hold of the, and Biker Coin is actually a crypto note. Yeah, no one can get a hold of the admins of them or the people running them. So, but it's open source software, people. You can take it over. That's the point. You don't need my help. Do it. Don't blame me. There's no guarantees in open source.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
I love the Freedom Fiends. But in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so, yeah. We were talking about, what's that thing called? Guar. Yep. Guar is in my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, and Dave Brocky is interviewed in it. I interviewed him in a porn shop. We just walked into, this is how San Francisco was back then, walked into a porn shop across the street from the club where he'd just done sound check and said, can we film in here? And the guy's like, I don't care. You know, the like pimply faced 21-year-old but behind the counter, like, I don't care, and went back to reading, you know, porn magazine. And I just filmed Brocky up against, you know, some titles on the wall, DVDs and VHS tapes. It was that long ago. They still had those. But in that movie, there's footage that I filmed of Guar performing. And the scene that we are showing performing is them cutting off the head of the Pope and feeding him to a dinosaur. So that's the kind of band we're talking about there. Don't try this at home. They were trained professionals.
That's some good wholesome fun.
Yeah, and they also
bring your kids.
At that show killed in effigy whoever was president. I think George Bush at the time, you know, had someone come out with a Bush mask on, and I think fed him through a meat grinder and then had, like, you know, red fake blood spray out the other side. They also, at another show I went to them at, I went to see them at, you got to understand, I'm on guest list for Guar for life because Dave Brocky, when he played in a band called, well, they're not around anymore, but when he played in a band called Death Piggy before Guar.
Their life, not yours.
Yeah, he accidentally, that should have been in the contract. He accidentally hit me in the head at a show with his bass. He jumped into the crowd. I jumped into the crowd at the same time, and he hit me in the head with the bass, and I had to have 3 stitches. If you ever meet me, ask me about it, and I'll show them to you on my head. There's still a scar. And there was blood everywhere. Like, you know, head wounds bleed a lot more than they look worse than they are. Do. And you know, I went to the
hell because it was Guar.
Because it was Guar. No, it was before Guar. It was before. Maybe that's what inspired Guar. I never thought about that. Because there were like blood all over people, blood all over his base, blood all over his t-shirt and my t-shirt. I built Guar. But
Forrest Gump of Guar.
You know, he didn't really know.
Forrest Gump of Guar.
I like that. Except I didn't have to insert myself. I actually was there. But he said to me, like, he didn't really know me well at that point. We became friends after this. This is in Charlottesville, Virginia, at a tiny gay bar called Muldowney's that held about 100 people. He said, hey, dude, don't sue me. If you don't sue, you can get in free to any show I ever do for the rest of my life. And I'm like, I'm not going to sue you. And he's like, cool. And he honored that. Like, every time Guar was in my town, I called him up. And one time, he put my girlfriend through a meat grinder on stage in front of 1,000 people at the Warfield in San Francisco, or as they called it when they were playing and would change the sign out front, the Guar Field. But, they put her in, like they had this line of women on stage just jumping into a meat grinder. And it was actually a trick where, like, you know, they came out a little tube at the bottom and snuck backstage. But it looked like they were going into a meat grinder and just blood was spewing out all over the audience. So, yeah, good times. Nice. Not PC, good times, though. But speaking of weirdness, we want to talk about DMT, which is a drug I've never done. Jeremy's done it. And it's, you know, the thing I've heard is, like, LSD is like being let out of a cage. DMT is like being shot out of a gun. And it's very short-lived, lasts about 45 minutes. It's not naturally even occurring. Yeah, it's naturally occurring in a lot of plants, which is weird. But
naturally occurring in you.
Yeah, it naturally occurs. Well, there's debate on that. It naturally occurs in the pineal gland of some animals, but I haven't seen adequate, you know, written proof that it's in the pineal glands of humans. The theory is that the white light you see when you're dying is the pineal gland releasing that into the rest of the brain, but I don't know if that's true. But it definitely occurs in a lot of plants, and not just South American plants that ayahuasca is made from. It actually occurs
different
in oranges
and stuff.
Oranges.
Yeah, that's, oh, that's true. Yeah, that
every orange seller is a dealer. And this is true. This isn't an urban myth. It was, well, the government released this form. This, it was like Department of Agriculture kind of thing, released this information a couple of years ago. And I just never heard about this. That.
Yeah, I didn't know about it either until you showed me this.
Yeah, that every orange tree and orange fruit contains some DMT, and it's not enough to get high, and DMT is not active unless it's mixed with an MAO inhibitor. MAOI, what is it? Which, you know, actually occurs in other plants, and people mix them to make ayahuasca, which is a drink, which has,
oxidase.
Thank you,
Phil.
Inhibitors, yes.
Right.
Which are also used
it's not,
as...
It's not orally active like that either. It has to be smoked.
Well, with MAO inhibitors, it is orally active.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It can be smoked, injected.
I don't think... No, not DMT. Injected,
yeah, DMT
really?
Can be smoked or injected and can be eaten if it's taken with an MAO inhibitor. We're going to talk about MAO inhibitors a bit when we get back, though.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 5th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, starting Thursday, June 22nd, and going through Monday, June 26th. That's right, Liberty Fest is getting longer and stronger. There will be presentations, discussions, bacon duels, and outdoor activities in an environment that is both family and grown-up friendly. There will be special appearances by Jeffrey Tucker, Dana Martin, and a few of the Freedom Fiends. If you have only talked about what a free society would look like, this is your chance to live it and see it with your own eyes. Now round up your friends and family and get them registered today at mplfest.org. And there's a discount for paying with Bitcoin. That's mplfest.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Could you hear that?
No.
Did you guys hear what I was listening to? The thing that Phil sent me?
I didn't hear that.
No, I didn't hear it.
I didn't make
it's all about
yeah.
The DMT.
Yeah, it's we can't speak of that. I'm contractually required to not speak of that because it's it's a fellow GCN host. Although it's kind of interesting because he talks about I can't really tell if that's negative or positive. I think it's negative, but he's talking about different people that took DMT and then somebody edited in like that Mao and other people had taken the DMT. But he does say that Chris Geo has taken the DMT, and Chris Geo is a GCN host. So maybe that contract only goes in one direction. That's interesting.
Well, I don't think he actually said any of those people took the DMT. I think it was those.
Oh, no, he said there. No, the Chris Geo takes the DMT was not. I think that's where they took the or took the DMT. I think they took it from that because that was not edited. It sounded like. Uh-oh. Also, nobody's heard of Chris Geo. You know, why would someone bother putting that in?
Yeah, I don't know.
Editing it in.
Yeah.
It's a GCN host. He might not be a GCN host anymore, but he's a, I don't want to say anything bad. I'll say what he is. He's a host on GCN that was on for a long time that had zero stations, as far as I know. But he runs a kind of popular internet site, like an internet radio site, where he has him and a few other people. And I think he put Free Talk Live on there. And one thing I know is that he bit one of my things, you know, which means stole in hip hop parlance. And there's really, you know, there's no intellectual property rights, but he's not a flat earther guy. He's a hollow earther guy. Chris Geo is. So take what you will from that. He thinks the earth is hollow, but, he basically, like, we used to have a liner on the Freedom Fiends early on that said, like, this is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from the wild, I don't even remember what it was. It was something like, you know, the wild western states, blah, 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 from the top of a mountain or something like that. And he bit that, like, you know, a month after we started using that, he started using that, like, almost word for word with his show instead. And, you know, there's no copyright for me and things like this. It's all covered by the BIPCOT license. But in an industry where you're supposed to be creative, if you're taking someone else's creativity and just pretending it was yours, you're kind of not being very creative, I'll say. He's no longer on GCN, so I can say this. Anyway, I guess he takes the DMT, according to the video that I'm going. Just Google DMT Electro House Remix, and I'll also link it in the show notes. So there's this drug called DMT, and it occurs naturally in a lot of things, and including oranges. The reason I mention the thing about oranges is, you know, and it's in such low quantities that it doesn't get you high, and DMT does not get you high when taken orally unless you take it with an MAO inhibitor. The reason I mention that is the hypocrisy of drug laws, because drug laws are zero tolerance. It's not, you know, if you have over this amount with a Schedule One like DMT, like the most illegal drugs in America, if you have the tiniest detectable amount of it, you're breaking the law. So, you know, why don't the police go arrest all the orange manufacturers? Not that they should, but that's the hypocrisy of this. So DMT is a really weird drug. It's dimethyltryptamine. It's been around for a long time. I remember hearing about it in the 70s. Like when I started researching drugs, I actually spent about a year reading about LSD before I ever took it. And I don't take drugs, you know, I haven't done any of these drugs for 25 or 30 years.
I did not research nearly as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody offered it to me. And
this is before the internet. Like, you know, this is before the internet. So I did the research in a library, which, you know, a year in a library researching it would have been, you know, half a week on the internet researching it. Because really, it was very hard to cross-reference books and go to this book, to that book, and have the library and get this other book through the interlibrary loan because your library doesn't have it. And
I remember those days.
Yeah, but I heard about DMT. Like, it was the funny thing about DMT, it was kind of like a thing in the 60s, and then it was dead. And suddenly, in the past probably 10 years, it's made a comeback to where, you know, people buy it, people manufacture it, and they sell it on the Silk Road or things like the Silk Road, Alpha Bay, things like that. And it was the reason it's weird because it didn't really have much of a market in the 60s because everyone was taking LSD. And DMT is so frightening and intense and short-lived, like it wasn't really a pleasant drug to a lot of hippies. So I've never taken it. Phil's never taken it. Jeremy took it on a friend's yacht in international waters, so he wasn't breaking any laws. So tell us about the experience. Oh, one thing I got to say, though, so MAO inhibitors, the things you have to take with DMT to take it orally, and it's, you know, when people make ayahuasca, it's the one plant that has DMT, and it's the other plant that is an MAO inhibitor mixed together and boiled.
Yes.
The MAO inhibitors have some various uses medically, and one of them is it was one of the first classes of psych med. Actually, the first psych med ever was amphetamine, and then the second psych med was barbiturates, and the third psych med was Thorazine. But they've kind of like really,
that's,
you know,
heavy duty stuff,
cleaned it up since then. You know, some people say psych meds make people kill people, but also psych meds, there's psych
you
meds
ever
that
taken
are a
Thorazine?
Lot. No, I've never taken
I've been given it pretty much against my will. Yeah, it's some heavy duty stuff, man.
Well, they call it the chemical straitjacket, which
is
an accurate description of
that
it.
Is
like
a
you
very
can't really
accurate description.
Do anything, but you know, they've kind of tweaked it to where there's, and I'm not going to get into a psych med discussion of pro or con, but I will say that I will say one thing. So there's psych meds now that like have a lot less obvious side effects than that, but a lot of people who have done mass killings recently it's turned out they were on psych meds, but that could be a chicken and the egg thing. It could be they were nutty and prone to go kill somebody, so some shrink put them on psych meds. You know, it's not necessarily the psych med did it, but I had a friend who was on psych meds who actually said that she could see a reason hard of why, you know, maybe someone would kill themselves on psych meds. She said that being on psych meds made her, like she could see, even not out of depression, like she could see cutting her wrist and not having, on psych meds, not having the normal, oh my God, what am I doing? There's blood. I'm hurting myself reaction. You know, that she could see like just kind of going, oh, pretty colors. And this was somebody who was really broken, but, and long time ago that I dated 15, 20 years ago. But so MAO inhibitors are, one of the medical uses is psych meds. Now, a thing about MAO inhibitors is when you're on them, there are certain foods that you can't eat that contain some natural substance that if you take them with MAO inhibitors, it can kill you. You'll have a hypertensive crisis. You'll end up in the hospital with, you know, spiking blood pressure. And this is one reason I can never take DMT, as it does raise your blood pressure at least some. And I can never take anything that raises my blood pressure because I have such blood pressure problems. But I'm kind of fascinated with it. I watched the movie, what's it called?
The Spirit Molecule.
DMT, The Spirit Molecule, which was kind of some hooey, but also some kind of like, who am I to question? You know, I don't know that.
It was pretty interesting.
Perception. I don't know that perception is what we see. So I don't say, oh, that's a bunch of hippie BS and, you know, narc on somebody when, like some people, when somebody says that, you know, there's spiritual applications of these things. I don't know. But, so you can't have, when you're on MAO inhibitors medically, you cannot, or, you know, recreationally with DMT, you cannot take wine, cheese, or chocolate. And I was thinking about that, and like, you know, you're on an antidepressant and you can't have wine, cheese, and chocolate. In a lot of places, especially in Europe, if you can't have wine, cheese, and chocolate, you'd kind of need to be on psych meds because, you know, that's life in Europe. But I actually wrote that down. That's my MAO inhibitor joke, probably the only one in the world.
Nice.
We're in the infancy of MAO inhibitor jokes. The first one wasn't that funny, but I think now this is
corner of the early market.
You know, yeah. Steve Miller, we'll get him on it, and they'll get better. All right. So, tell me about DMT. So you smoked it. It's crystals, right? What'd you mix it with, and what happened?
I didn't actually.
Not names. Just like, how'd it come to you?
Allegedly, I came across it in my travels last summer when I was festival hopping. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. So some hippies handed you a pipe. Did they tell you what was in it?
Yeah. I was informed where I could get some if I was interested in trying it out, and myself and a couple other people, possibly one of our other hosts, took a walk over, and we
allegedly, not guaranteed. Don't try this at home.
Actually, not two of the hosts. Whatchamacallit? And I sat down and I watched a bunch of other people do it in front of me, and they were all done. Like, they went in, they smoked it, they sat down in a chair. You know, we were all outside in the woods and stuff, hanging out, and it was all over for them in like 2 to 4 minutes.
Not a guarantee.
And when it was my turn, I sat down and I took I think it was
Make
two
it was
hits.
Triggering.
You know, the individual who had it and had prepared it.
This is just a joke.
Thank you. And brought it for us
for educational purposes only.
Explain the whole thing.
Don't try this at home. Ask an adult before ordering.
Insisted on being the one to light everything and hold the pipe and everything like that. And I was like, fine. So I sat back in the chair and I took two hits off of it and just sat back, and everything just kind of faded away. Like, I was staring off into the trees and, like, you know, the geometric shapes and everything that people talk about. I definitely saw that. And it's not like, it wasn't like hallucinating, like, you know, I wasn't seeing things like I had when I had done LSD in the past, or certain times when I had done mushrooms, I had visuals where I saw things. It wasn't hallucinations like that.
You were seeing the truth, according to a lot of people who really like DMT.
Yeah, it was kind of like
this. Takes off the filters.
Yeah, it was kind of like this overlay of, you know, because you could see the everything that was there behind it, kind of,
wow.
Sort of, but it was weird, like, dude. Yeah, it was, and it was white. So, like, that's a lot of people I've seen.
That's racist.
It's just everything you saw, like the shapes and everything. But it was also at night, so that could have just been the stark contrast of seeing it up against the darker sky. There was just this intense feeling of not being able to move, but being totally okay with it, like being totally.
Yeah,
like,
it sounds horrible to me, but I can see why people like it. I don't like to lose control, really. And like the few times I did LSD, like even though it was very intense, I felt in control. And
yes, yeah,
you know, a lot of people who've taken LSD, you know, then take DMT, and it's like kind of like the first time people take LSD. Which I'm sure there's people yelling at the radio like, it's a gateway drug. LSD's a gateway drug to DMT.
Well, yeah. It's definitely a whole nother level, but I just liked it because it was a heck of a lot shorter. Because
did you see the machine elves?
I didn't see that, but I definitely felt the presence of something something there.
That cared about you, that loved you. Yeah. We're going to talk about what that is when we get back.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
I love the Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
All right, cool. All right. Freedom Fiends. Dealing with problems here.
Well.
Yeah. Solving problems. We're solving problems here on the Freedom Fiends.
That's right. So, that's the way to look at
it. Yeah. Yep. All right. So we're talking about DMT. So you didn't see the machine elves. That's a thing that people, a lot of people say they see is something. There's something they see, but it's not like normally seeing, but they see when they're on DMT or are aware of, or this people or these beings are trying to talk to them. And Terrence McKenna described them as machine elves. And that seems to be a thing that fits with a lot of people that makes sense to them of what it is. And, you know, you could say, oh, everyone expects to see this machine elf, so they see them. But people who've never heard a description of what DMT should be like also often feel this presence and of these things that are, did you find them like they, did you feel like they cared about you? Terrence McKenna says they love you. Did you
like
feel
I
that?
Said, it wasn't even necessarily that. It was just, and it wasn't like there was just a, there was a presence. It wasn't like one, a number of beings, one being, it was just a presence that I felt, but it was just definitely something trying to communicate with me in some way that, but it was over, like it felt like it was, you know, because everybody says it, you feel like you're there for eons, but you're only there for a couple of minutes, because when you smoke, it only lasts like, you know, less than 5 minutes, although I was told I was under a little bit longer than that. But it didn't feel like forever for me. It felt like a short amount of time. It felt like I brought myself out of it too soon or something.
It's also it's dose dependent, I think. People that feel like they're gone forever and go places and experience the deep things may take a bigger dose, but
I was lined up with people that were all taking the same dose because we were all paying for the same dose, you know. I don't know what, I would definitely try it again because it was definitely interesting. It was intense and it wasn't like it was pleasant. So yeah. It could have been like that feeling of love. I'm not sure, but it was definitely a pleasant experience.
Yeah. So Terrence McKenna, who is kind of the, he's like the Timothy Leary of DMT. I know he's more than that, but he's actually
big into DMT.
He's a psychonaut for a lot of different psychedelics, but he's very into DMT and was kind of was the Johnny Appleseed of DMT. Like he may be one of the main reasons people have heard of it again, where it was considered kind of a dead drug no one wanted to do by like 1970.
Oh, most definitely. Terrence had a lot to do with that.
So, the things that he says about what the machine elves are and what the people are, there's four things. I'm going to read the four things and then we'll get into as much as we can of each one. So he said they could be extraterrestrials. They could be entities in a parallel continuum. They could be dead people, or they could be humans from the future. And, you know, haters who, there are people who just don't believe in spiritual experience at all, you know, that are cynics and believe that everything is explainable by science. And, you know, I guess theoretically throughout history, religion has always been things that are not yet explained by science.
Largely, but yes.
I kind of wonder, like, when almost everything that needs to be figured out is figured out, if there'll still be religion. I think there will be. I think there are things that go beyond the scene, and I do think, I don't know if there's a god. I don't know if there are machine elves. I don't know if there are extraterrestrials. I don't know if there are entities in a parallel continuum. I don't know if dead people can communicate with alive people. I don't know if there are humans from the future that can communicate with people now. But why I can't see why anybody would say that's impossible. And there are people that say that. And I'm open to the idea, not for me personally taking any of these drugs, because I gave up psychedelics like 20 years before, 15 years before I gave up drugs. I was just like, you know, after X number of LSD trips, I was just like, you know, and it, they say when you get the message, you hang up the phone. I felt like there's nothing I could gain from it anymore. I think I did gain a lot from it, but I feel like I wasn't going to get any more from it. So I stopped doing it and then got into drugs that are really bad for you, like heroin and alcohol, very heavily. But,
just stuck to the psychedelics, Michael.
Yeah, but I also know people that are complete burnouts from psychedelics, like people who like, lights are on, but there's no one home kind of thing.
I know people like that too, unfortunately.
You know, so I'm not recommending anything for sure based on personal experience of, you know, one ex-girlfriend, not the same one that was talking about how pretty it would be to slit her wrist. Different ex-girlfriend. I went through some weirdos till I got my wife. But, so real quick, you got some information about connecting with the infinite and how things may not be what we see?
Well, I'm the same way as you, man. I don't have any answers, so I don't know, man.
There you go.
I've seen enough in my own experiences to.
I'm agnostic about machine elves, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, good show, man.
As far as DMT goes, I say, you know, don't knock until you try it. It's definitely an interesting experience.
We'll try to get Phil on for the whole show next time. Worms.
Worms.